This is the podcast of the German Historical Institute London, a research centre dedicated to supporting and connecting students and scholars from Britain and Germany. The podcast series presents current research in British, German and European history, as well as colonial and global history. For more information on the German Historical Institute London, future events, the GHIL Library, studentships and more podcast episodes, please visit our website at ghil.ac.uk.
Can federations be stable? Should political orders last forever and constitutions be permanent? My name is Kim Koenig, and for today's podcast interview, I am joined by GHIL Research Fellow for Modern History, Pascal Siegrist, to talk to Eva-Marlene Haussteiner, Chair in Political Theory and History of Political Thought at the University of Erlangen-Nuremberg, about the research behind her GHIL lecture. In the lecture, she looks at historical instances in which thinkers and politicians have argued for an expiration date of a federal constitution and political orders more generally. Welcome, Professor Haussteiner. Welcome to our GHIL podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time. You were here last December for a lecture on federalism and the lack of stability or the stability of federations. And you brought this together with historical examples and also theoretical debates and also how they relate to our present times. To start us off, could you just tell us a bit more about your project?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, thanks a lot for having me again, even though this time only via podcast. So the question, what relation federalism has to stability, is actually part of a somewhat larger project with a maybe even more interesting question behind it, which deals with the question, should political orders last forever? So should political orders, should constitutions be permanent, infinite, or should we build in an expiration date for whatever reason from the start? And so in the history of political thought, which is the field that I broadly work in, most people say no, constitutions should last forever, and so should federalism. Federalism is a perfect tool to balance out conflict, to make sure all groups and interests are represented so that the political order does not break down. And I'm kind of trying to flip it around and look for historical instances of where thinkers or even just politicians argued more systematically for an expiration date of a constitution or political order more generally, or federalism more specifically. And one of the examples I treated in my lecture last December was the German Grundgesetz, which has not a precise expiration date built in, but which contains the possibility of basically democratic overthrow or reconstitution, let's put it that way, and where federalism plays a very interesting role. And another totally different example would be early Soviet thinking, where federalism played a very active role in making sure that Soviet statehood would, on the one hand, be very efficient, on the other hand, would abolish itself along the lines of Marxist-Leninist ideology. So as you can maybe see here, my project is kind of very heterogeneous in terms of the case studies involved, which in my view is part of its charm. But that also shows that I'm, by discipline, I'm a political scientist. I'm not really a historian dedicated to one specific era or region. So I take the liberty of comparing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, so thank you so much. That is very fascinating and already like going in two directions in which I've been wanting to take you. And I think maybe we'll take them both at a time. The first being like how this project relates to your own intellectual biography, starting with a study on the British Empire and then sort of other aspects of, I was wondering like where the case studies come from and sort of how they connect to you as a scholar and historian and theorist.
Yeah, thank you. So basically the idea has been in the back of my mind for a long time, but from the perspective of affirmations of stability. So I collaborated with a couple of colleagues for years on this imperative of stable political order, kind of the classical stance in the history of political thought since Aristotle, basically. So that's basically the bread and butter of intellectual history in a way. But then I like to, or I found that I enjoy topics that go a little bit against the grain and try to illuminate some blind spots. So like 3 or 4 years ago, I had the eureka moment where I thought, why not ask about the more, let's say, marginalized or counter arguments to that history. And in terms of the more kind of the areas where I looked for case studies, I talked to a lot of people, I read a lot of things to make sure that I do get a selection of case studies that is not limited to what I know from my own prior scholarly engagement. So in British history, which is, as you mentioned, what I wrote my doctoral dissertation on, I did not immediately find kind of the perfect case studies, although in post-colonial or situations of decolonization in the 20th century, there are some promising candidates, I would say, where the British Empire established some forms of, let's say, protectorate rule that had a built-in expiration date. With regard to the Soviet case, I did study Russian studies as a minor subject during my Magister Artium, this like very German curriculum, so during my BA and MA. So my habilitation on federalism contained the Soviet Union as one main case study. So I'm continuing on that route a little bit because I do think that early Soviet political thought is extremely interesting and rich and more multifaceted than is often seen for, I guess, mostly normative reasons.
Yeah, thank you so much. And then I guess you've already mentioned before sort of how your work is really situated between political theory and history, which I think in Germany is quite rare, if I understand it correctly, to have like this sort of history of political thought, which is more common in, say, England and America to a large extent. So I was wondering sort of how you see yourself in a sort of international landscape of scholars and disciplines and how your work speaks to different fields.
Yeah, I guess it really depends. So the luxury would be that I can, if I choose to, or if people would have me participate in multiple arenas or debates. So I do, I'm very happy that historians take my work seriously, or that I, for example, get invitations by historical institutes, because obviously the historiographical depth is absolutely needed to make my work not too dilettantic, but this has limits. So the more, I called it earlier, kind of comparative or systematizing, also as it's called these days, presentist approach of my work puts me in the field of political science or political theory, I would say. And these academic cultures differ not only from country to country. And what you say is precisely correct, that I do feel this kind of overlap is more established also institutionally in the UK than in Germany, although also in Germany there are a lot of departments where politische Ideengeschichte, history of political thought, is part of political science. But it's very much kind of under fire. So these chairs often do not get renewed after somebody retires. So these are, we are right in the middle of kind of institutional politics with this topic. And it depends not just by country, but also by region and very particular contextual conditions.
Yeah, fantastic. And if we say, which is great, and I guess historians often have that problem, that your work really speaks to the present. Now, in Britain, of course, the question of federalism is a very politically relevant one, having just left the federation and then in turns, this having raised all sorts of constitutional issues within the current sort of political arrangement between the four nations. I was wondering if you could share any insights that coming to London, being in Britain, like sort of has generated perhaps.
That's such an interesting question. I mean, considering the more recent history around Brexit and the debate surrounding it, of course, the the empire topic is even more prominent than the federalism topic. So Duncan Bell from Cambridge has, of course, written a lot about this imperial amnesia or kind of phantom pain that seems to be returning when people long for a global Britain. But then they maybe realize that this desire to be somebody globally, maybe being part of a larger federation like the EU, is a more reasonable stepping stone towards that. So, I mean, as an outside observer, it's a bit painstaking to see or to observe this very difficult and politicized process of realizing what the kind of necessities of more than just regional greatness or meaningfulness are. So obviously super interesting. And of course, as you said, the EU federalism topic is of importance for the UK, but also the internal process of devolution, or as it is increasingly being called, internal federal power sharing, seems to show what I've been trying to show in my habilitation, that federalism is anything but a technocratic, purely institutional, neutral administrative topic. It's highly political. It really cuts to the core of how power is shared. So it's maybe not so surprising that the topic reappears in most polities.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. That's really interesting. And we hope that our listeners will enjoy your lecture just as much as we did. Thank you again for taking the time to speak to us. We hope to welcome you at the Institute in the future and wish you all the best of luck with your research.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the German Historical Institute London podcast. Follow us on social media and check our website to keep up to date with new episodes.